Hey, good morning. Bruce Springsteen, in my house when I was a kid, actually was, he wasn't known as the boss. You see, when I was a kid, I can remember distinctly, I was sitting in the back of my mom's minivan. I was probably about 10 years old, and she had a greatest hit CD of Bruce Springsteen, and you know his voice, right? I mean, it's raspy, and I yelled out from the back. I said, "Mom, who is that geezer? Turn this off." And so for the rest, really, until this moment, Bruce Springsteen has been known as the geezer, at least to me. And I know for some of you, I've lost all respect. I mean, you're just going to tune out the rest of the morning. You're going to think of the breakfast burrito you just ate. You're going to see that great catch that Clay made. Man, that guy played college baseball, I'm just going to say. I know that. So, but here's the thing. You know, that was my experience with Bruce Springsteen. That's really, that's all that I knew. And this movie, we really do get to see the boss. We get to see the side of Bruce Springsteen. So we're in this series, At the Movie 7, where we're exploring the fibers of faith that are kind of weaved in and out some of the biggest movies to hit the big screens all summer long. And I'm excited to join you this morning. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Chris, pastor of Multiplication and Growth here at Crosspoint. And I'm really excited to be joining you as we jump into this movie, Blinded by the Light. But just remember, this is the second to last weekend of this At the Movie series. So if you're planning on, maybe you're wanting to get some free movie tickets, you haven't done it yet, this is your last week. So start thinking of who you're going to invite, because next week we're going to be looking at Toy Story 4, something about forks, sporks, I don't know. I have no idea. So if you haven't had a chance to see this movie yet, though, Blinded by the Light, I really do encourage it. I mean, I went and saw this movie 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday afternoon at about 1 o'clock. And can I just say, that's got to be the best time to go see a movie. All right? I walked into the theater to see this movie, and it was me and a couple. They were probably in their 70s, and that was it. I had the entire theater to myself. So let me just say, if you can figure out a way to like cut out of work, like let them know your pastor said that was cool, so you could go and see this movie. So this movie, it's been cool for me the last couple weeks. See, I just knew Bruce Springsteen as this geezer, but these past 2 weeks, I can't stop listening to his music. Like, and my wife's like, that's just, there's no way. And then she got in the car with me yesterday, and it was play. Like, I'm not joking. There's something about it. Like, I know I'm like way late to the ball game. Some of you are like, you're an idiot. Like, of course his music is good. And I'm sorry, I'm just a bit behind the time. So this movie, it's about a young man. His name is Javed, and he's an angsty British Pakistani teen with this multicultural identity in this world where it feels like nobody understands him. You see, Blinded by a Light is actually based on a memoir of a real guy. His name is Sarfraz Manzoor, and the film actually follows the life of Javed, and it's based off of this guy's life. This guy actually has seen Bruce Springsteen in concert over 150 times. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It follows Javed as he's kind of navigating life and loneliness and in the late 1980s, a small town just north of London called Luton. And he's this talented writer. He's a poet, but he can't seem to figure out how to weave in and out of this divided community that hates his race and a strict father that really hates his writing. And it's not until his friend Roops introduces him to the words of Bruce Springsteen, suddenly he begins to see this version of himself that could be bigger than just this small town of Luton where he lives. But this movie it's so much more than just a young man finding his voice in this society where, for him, he was expected to start at the top and stay at the top. You see, Javed, he had these voices telling him all that he was to be, how he was to dress, what he was to look like, what kind of music he should listen to, where he should go, who he should become. He's the youngest of a family with 3 children, this immigrant family that has immigrated to England in the late 1980s, which by the way, if just on the subject of the 80s, I didn't grow up in the 80s. I was born in the 90s. And so watching this movie and seeing kind of the way that the 80s were all about and kind of listening to some of the music of the 80s, can I just say, what were you thinking? Like, seriously, this was cool? How? How was this ever cool? Or this, like that hair? Are you serious? If you ever had hair like that, can I just say, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry that you thought that was cool. Or salt and pepper, really? Like, what? Man, and if I didn't lose your respect at the beginning, now I know I really have lost it. But I just crimped hair, rolled up sleeves. Crimped hair was never cool. It shouldn't, like, just, I'm sorry, guys, but you missed the boat somewhere. The 80s were just a forgotten era. But more seriously, this movie, it's about this young man who's attempting to find his voice under the weight of the expectations of so many other people. You see, he's this British Pakistani young man living in this immigrant Muslim family, and he's trying to explain it to his friends because they just don't really understand. He actually tells them, he says, You don't know many Pakis, do you? You see, we only live for our dads. He actually says, in my house, no one has an opinion except for my father. Not only that, but he's constantly dealing with the pressures of being the only boy in this household with two sisters. You see, he wants to pursue this career in writing, but his dad actually tells him, he says, no, son, writing is only for English people with rich parents. You can be a doctor, or you can be a lawyer, or you can be an estate salesman. I'm giving you all these options. His dad says, I'm being reasonable. You know, I'm giving you options. You don't have to be a doctor. You can be a lawyer, too. You see, there were no options for this 16-year-old immigrant young man from Pakistani descent to become a writer. And so you can begin to imagine the weight that he carries with him daily. And as I started to think of the life of Javed, I started to see these similarities to another young man that lived with all of these expectations from a very young age. And it's a guy that you've probably heard of before, whether this is the first time you've stepped into a church ever, or maybe you've been gone for a long time, you're coming back. And this is a name that I'm sure that you've heard who had to constantly find his voice under the midst of expectations. His name was David, King David. David and Goliath, maybe you know that story. Whether you've been in church your whole life, maybe this first time in a long time, you've probably heard that name before. And here's the thing that we all have to understand today, that at all times in our lives, things are subject to change. Things are subject to change. How many times in your life do you wish that these words were just printed on your forehead? Just as a reminder, constantly a reminder that things are subject to change. And what's cool about this is that I think that we can really boil all of these things down, all the events, all the experiences, all the encounters that we've ever had in our entire lives into one of these three buckets that I've got here right in front of me. Every single event, experience, encounter can be boiled down and put right in one of these buckets. And here's the thing that I learned about these buckets right here in front of me. That there is this incredible frustration when we try and take an event from this bucket and we try and put it in this bucket. Because when we experience this frustration because the things, the events, the encounters, the experiences we have that are in this bucket, they have to stay here. It doesn't make sense to move them. You see, we all have three buckets. There's three buckets. There's the in my control or in your control bucket. And there's all sorts of things in here. Maybe it's your work ethic, right? Your work ethic. You control how hard you're going to work in a certain instance. Maybe it's your reactions or your attitude or your response to a certain thing, whatever it might be. Maybe it's your diet, the amount of exercise that you have. These are things that you control, and you can't take something out of this bucket and try and put it in here. That's not how this works. You're going to experience incredible frustration when you do that. The second bucket is the bucket, the out of your control bucket. All right, so out of your control. For example, layoffs. This isn't in your control. Andrew Luck, not in your control. Professional sports, husbands, dads, moms, whoever it might be. I know you think that if you sit in your chair just the right way, you know, cross your legs, lean forward, that you can control the outcome of the game. But let me tell you, this is out of your control. For another one, car accidents. These are oftentimes, these are out of your control. And when we try and consider them, no, this is in our control. Layoffs, cancer. A lot of times, this is your family line. This is your DNA. I mean, there's very little that you can actually do to change that. And when you try and take this layoffs and you put it in your control bucket, the frustration that you'll experience is just overwhelming. The last one. These are things that are within my influence. Within my influence. For example, your finances. You get to influence the decisions that you make with your finances. The children, parents, you might think at times that they're just out of your control, but these are within your influence, especially adult children. As your kids start to get older, you start to realize, I can't really control them at all, but I can influence the decisions that they're making. I mean, there's so many things. And again, if you pick something up out of this bucket and you try and put it in this out of my control bucket, you're going to experience frustrations. Your reputation, it's within your control. And it doesn't matter how long you've been around. It's always good to review what goes into these buckets, and especially how we respond to the things that are in these buckets. And so bucket number one, I want to give you the responses that I think that we should all begin to work with every single event, encounter, experience that we have with the things that go into these buckets. The very first one, our response to things that are in our control is to be responsible. We have to take responsibility. We have to be responsible. We can't pass the buck. We can't shift the blame to someone else. No, these are things that are within our control. And so we have to be responsible. In the movie, there's a side to this movie that I'm not really, I just don't have enough time to dig into. But there's a side to this movie that touches on race. And I don't want to miss it. And again, we've decided here at Crosspoint that we're going to take responsibility on the conversation of race. And so if you remember a couple weeks ago, we were in the movie Green Book. And Kurt had mentioned we're going to dig into a series. That's going to start here in just 2 weeks. And we've decided we have to dig in a little deeper. Because this topic of racism, the conversation that's happening in our world, we've decided we have to take responsibility. And so this is in our control. And so we're going to be digging into that series here in just 2 weeks. And honestly, as I left the movie, it left me asking myself this one question kind of over and over again. You see, Javed, he's of Pakistani descent, but he was born in England. So he's got this multicultural identity. He can't quite figure out, am I supposed to be this or am I supposed to be this? He lives in this town that his descent, his race, the country of origin, the people just hate him. If you saw in that trailer, there's a moment where he's walking home and someone just spits right into his face. There's another moment where these guys come and they forcibly move him and his friend Roofs into another booth at a restaurant because they were Pakistani. I mean, this conversation of race is one that we've decided it's in our control, and so we are going to take responsibility. And so that's going to be starting here in just a couple weeks with this series called Unmasked. So we'd love to have you join us for that one. With the second bucket, these are things that are out of your control. Cancer, layoffs, car accidents, whatever it might be, whatever the event experience that you may have. The second one, the way that we should respond is to trust God. And I know there's probably you've gotten like an audible groan that you wish you could have voiced right there in that moment, because there's a pastor just telling you, oh, just trust God. It'll all work out. Just trust God. It's going to be fine. It'll be okay. And I heard myself say it, and I kind of groaned a little bit thinking of that. But here's the thing. Wherever you are in your faith journey, if this is the very first time you've walked into a church ever, or maybe you're coming back for the first time in a long time, or maybe you've been here your entire life, to whatever degree that you are able to, with the things that are out of your control, the moments, the experiences, the events, the encounters that you have, when they're out of your control, you can't do anything about them. And so our only response is to learn to trust God with those things that we can't control. This third bucket, the things that are within our influence. Our response should always be to act wisely. We need to act wisely. We need to seek wisdom. With this last bucket, your response should always be to pause. These are the moments where you shouldn't just jump to action. These are the moments where you should take a moment, breathe, pause, and then act wisely in that. And I believe that we get ourselves in trouble when we immediately jump to action with the events that happen within our influence and they're not in our control or out of our control. And we have to be able to pause in those moments and kind of look outward. Look outward at the consequences and the benefits, and we have to be able to weigh those and begin to make the best choice or the next right thing, as my wife likes to say. This could be a pro-con list. This could mean that you reach out to a trusted friend or a mentor or someone who's a little further down the road. Actually, in the movie Javed, he finds himself multiple times reaching out to the person that continually supports and encourages his writing. You see, in his house, his dad tells him, like, hey, you're not going to be a writer. Like, it is plain and simple. It's not going to happen. But he has this teacher that continues to encourage and support and tells him to fight for his dreams. And so Javed, that's where he goes in these moments where he's just kind of at the end of his rope. He looks to someone further down the road and he reaches out. And I don't know about you, but personally, I start to get in trouble when I take things from this bucket or from this bucket, and I put them in here, or when I take something from out of here and I drop it in my control bucket. You see, this is where frustration happens. For example, parents, I mentioned children earlier, adult children. If anyone in this room has adult children, you know what I'm talking about when I say that they're not in your control. You may feel like, you may wish they were in your control. You may wish that you could guide and direct their course because you, honestly, you probably do know better. I can say that as an adult child. You probably do know better. But they're not in your control any longer. They're within your influence, absolutely. Absolutely. But they're not in your control. And when you try and put them from this within your influence bucket into your control bucket, that is where the frustration will happen. Another one, job opportunities, or maybe your friendships. Maybe some of you would think, well, these are just out of my control. You can't control. Maybe you think, oh, I can't control the friendships that I cultivate. But honestly, it's up to you. You can be intentional with those friendships. You can be intentional with those potential job opportunities that might come up. You can put yourself out there. Jobs probably aren't always just going to fall into your lap. And so you've got to take the next step and jump out. Car accidents, layoffs. Maybe you beat yourself up. You think, oh, that was probably in my control. But when you do that, you're just causing more and more frustration. And so what are you putting in these three buckets? King David, he was one that learned this bucket lesson at a really young age. And he was one that honestly, I think, probably understood this better than most anyone. And what's crazy to me is as we look at these three stories of David's life is he has this internal peace and this external joy that I think all of us want, but maybe we're not quite sure how to get. And so there's a few instances of this. There's one story in 2 Samuel, and I'm not gonna read the whole story, but there's a short recap. David, he's the king, and he has this son that's stricken with an illness. And his servants, they find David on the floor, and he's weeping, and he's praying, and he's fasting, and he's doing whatever he can in this moment to try and influence the situation. He knows that there's very little that he can actually do to help his son get better. And so he's doing whatever he feels like he can to influence the situation. And after about 7 days, his son sadly passes away. And the servants, they've watched their king on the floor just weeping and crying and not eating and staying up all night and praying and fasting, and they've seen his response, and they after his son dies, they're just not sure how to approach him. And he hears them whispering, and he kind of looks up and he asks, and he says, is the child dead? And the servants are like, yes, David, yes, king, the child has unfortunately passed away. And David, what's crazy in this moment is he gets up. He goes, he washes himself, he cleanses himself, he prays. Then he goes and he sits down and he eats a meal. And his servants, they're looking at him. And they're trying to figure out how in the world, you were just here and now you're acting as if all is well. David, what is happening? And it's as if David is telling them this. It's as if he's saying, while it's in my influence, I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to do everything possible to influence this situation in the way that I really hope that it's going to go. And I'm not going to try to control it. There was very little to anything that David could have done in that moment or in those days to control the situation. I think he understood it would just lead to this frustration and this anger and this bitterness. And I think David realizes, you know, once it's out of my influence, I can't waste my energy on this any longer. And as I read that story, I read it and I just thought, like, how is this possible? And I think, honestly, when I look at it, I think we can find the strength that David has in that moment. I think we can find the dependency on God that David has in that moment from another story from his childhood. You see, David, there's another story that I'm sure all of us have heard. Whether you've ever been in church before, maybe this is your first time, you've probably heard the story or the phrase David and Goliath. And this is probably his most famous story. This happens at a really young age for him, probably anywhere from 12 to, you know, 16 years old. David's just a kid. And actually, check out what this says. This is 1 Samuel 17, and this is what it says. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. The king, David's telling the king, "Hey, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go and fight him." And Saul says, don't be ridiculous. There is no way you can fight this Philistine. And honestly, there's no way you could possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted, "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God." You see, in this moment, all of the other soldiers, all of the trained warriors, the king, the captains, I think they've put Goliath in the wrong bucket. David's looking at him. David's looking at this 9-foot-tall giant, and he's like, "Guys, you kidding me? Like, I can't miss. I mean, look at this target. There's no way I'm going to miss this guy." He's recognizing in this moment that he's got to put him in this in-my-control bucket. He's just a young kid, and he's realizing something that his brothers, the other soldiers, the king maybe miss. You see, he's realizing that my God is bigger than 9 feet tall. And he's saying, "I think the odds are with me. They're not against me." Now, what about you? Are there any Goliaths in your life that maybe you've put in the wrong bucket? Maybe you've decided these things are just out of my control. You thought there's no way that God can do anything with this. This is just completely out of my control. You see, David, he was able to accomplish this because he had Goliath in a different bucket. You see, these guys, the others around him, were older, they were wiser, they were more experienced, and yet he was the only one to put Goliath into the right bucket. And when you do that, you will do things that you never dreamed were possible. David did something that all of them never dreamed was possible because he recognized that he needed to put Goliath in the correct bucket. And again, David, he learns where to put the events, where to put the encounters, the experiences that he has, what buckets to put them in. There's this one last story from the life of David I want to look at, and maybe it's one that you've heard before, maybe not, I'm not sure, but Saul, the one that we just read about, he was the king, and Saul started to feel the pressure of David. You see, David, he had begun to rise to fame. People started to know about David, and so where we find this story is Saul is chasing David and kind of this band of rebels through the desert. And he's chasing him, and in this moment, Saul and his army, they pause. because Saul has to go to the bathroom. And I was a youth pastor for a long time, and this is probably one of my students' favorite stories, because where else in the Bible do you see a story where they're talking about the king having to, you know, go to the bathroom? So this story, they find David and his band of rebels. They're hiding in the back of this cave. And Saul, he goes up to relieve himself, and he goes actually into the very same cave that David and his guys are in. And what's crazy is, I think we probably would call this like a God moment today. I don't know if that's what they called it back then, but I'm sure his guys are like, they're like nudging him, like, hey, this is your moment. This is your moment, David. You can be king. All you got to do is be done with it. Just knock his head off and that's it. David, he looks it over. He's contemplating, what bucket? Where does this fit? Is it in my control, in my influence? Is this out of my control? And he decides, no, I'm going to trust God in this moment. He told me that he was going to make me king. He didn't say that I'm going to make myself king. So I'm not going to make myself king. This is God's battle. This is not my own. And he could have taken control of this moment. He could have taken control of this situation. And honestly, probably no one would have blamed him. I mean, this guy had been chasing him, trying to kill him. Probably would have been celebrated. In about 15 minutes, he could have walked out with the king's head, and everyone would have known in that moment that David was now the king. But David, he found the right bucket in this moment. And I think he did it by seeking the wisdom of God. He kind of looked down the road in that moment. And here's the thing, if you make decisions based on the circumstances of today, short-term thinking, you're most often going to suffer some long-term consequences. You see, this is where surrounding yourself with trusted voices is so helpful. They're going to help you see down the road a little bit further, because they've walked down the road a little bit further. And what Javed found in the music of Bruce Springsteen was a counterpart. Was someone to walk with, someone who understood what he had been going through his entire life, someone who understood the expectations of a father that were just weighing heavily. What he found in the boss, although they were separated in age and culture and thousands of miles, was someone that he could relate to, someone who had walked a similar path as he had. And honestly, you can do the same. And you might sit there and think, yeah, okay, but like the Bruce Springsteen music, like that did something for me when I was a kid. That doesn't really do much for me anymore. But there are people in your life that you can look to in these moments. Maybe it's someone in your small group, or maybe it's a friend or a mentor of yours in the workplace, or students. Maybe it's your small group leader. Heck, maybe it's your parents. I don't know who it is for you, but you see, we all have someone in our lives that we can look to in seasons where we're just not sure where to go. We're just not sure where to turn. Maybe in moments where we just want to throw our hands up and say, oh, this is out of my control. Like, I'm just going to give up. There's nothing that I can do. And so I'm just going to quit. You see, it's in those seasons that you need to make a call, that I need to make a call, that we need to reach out. You need to seek out some help. You see, we face events every single day that there's probably someone around us, a friend, a mentor, a coworker, someone from our small group that has walked this before. And that is when we try and do this on our own, oftentimes that's when the frustration will just continue to rise. You see, regardless of how out of control the things are in your life, the one thing that you control is how you respond. See, we have to be responsible with the things that are in control, in our control. And one of the things we can be responsible with is our attitude. It's our emotions. It's our reactions. It's how we respond in a certain situation. Would I plan it to go that way? No. Do I wish it would have gone differently? Do I wish that I could have made it happen some other way? Absolutely. But it's out of my control. And so the only thing that I can do is to choose how I'm going to respond in that moment. And here's the thing, conflict occurs when there is a distance between our expectations and reality. And the conflict, it expands as this distance widens. And so we walk into those expectations. When we walk into those situations, we have to have clear expectations. And having someone in our corner that's walked it before, they can help us have those clear expectations. So where does this all leave us today? Go ahead and grab your connection card. On the back side of that card, each and every week, we put next steps on there because we want to help give some handles. We want to give some tangible walkouts every single week. And so for this week, the very first one is this, that I will identify and take responsibility this week for the things that are in my control, no matter the cost. And I know, I read that. I wrote it. And that's tough. Like that's really hard to do. No matter the cost, I'm going to take responsibility for the things in my control. I can't pass the buck. I can't shift blame to someone else. Javed, there's a scene in this movie where he has to take control of a situation that he has caused in his family. And we all have moments like that. We all have moments where we have caused something and we have to take responsibility because it's in our control. So no matter the cost, maybe that's your next step this week. No matter the cost, I'm going to take responsibility for the things that are in my control. Second one, I will identify the things that are out of my control. I'll find the things that are completely out of my control. And I'm going to ask God how to help me choose thoughtfully my response instead of letting my emotions control it for me. There's this scene in the movie where Javed, he's kind of dealing with the weight and the pressure of his dad, and his dad's telling him, you're never going to be a writer. It's only for English people with rich parents. You're never going to be a writer. And he runs upstairs, and he takes all of his papers, all the writing he'd ever done, and he just throws them out the window in the midst of a storm. They're spiraling everywhere. And then he realizes what he's done in a moment of panic, and he takes off chasing down every single one of these papers. And maybe you've had a moment like that this week. And part of navigating this is identifying the things that are out of our control. And I'm sure that I'm the biggest offender of this because it's so difficult at times to find out what is actually in our control, what's actually out of our control. But it's absolutely necessary. And so this week, let's choose our responses to these things. And lastly, this week, I'll identify things that are within my influence. And even when I don't see a clear path or a decision, I will seek out help. I'll reach out. I'll look for some wisdom through one of a friend or a trusted mentor or someone who's just a little further down the road. Again, I know this is not an easy thing to do. I mean, it requires you to maybe step out of your comfort zone. Maybe let someone in that you're not sure. Maybe you've got a nice wall built up and you don't want to tear down that wall. But when we do that, it changes the response. See, Javed, he has that one teacher who supports him all throughout. You see, we all have that someone in our corner. A mentor, a coach, a small group leader, a friend, someone from our work. That someone who's cheering us on. And again, it requires letting them know what's really going on. But when we do that, we get to truly experience a change that so often we can't experience if we're just trying to figure it out on our own. See, remember, if you make decisions based on circumstances of today, if you make decisions based on short-term thinking, all too often you're going to find yourself dealing with some really long-term consequences. And none of us want to do that. So let's pause in those moments. Let's pause. Let's reach out. Let's seek out some wisdom. Would you stand with me as we pray? God, I'm grateful for this movie. I'm grateful for the truth that we can find in the life of Javed, God. I know that each of us have moments every single week where we're not sure how to respond. Each of us have events or experiences in our life where it just feels like we're just completely out of our control. God, this week, would you help each and every one of us to truly understand the things that are in our control, the things that are out of our control, and the things that are within our influence. And God, help us to respond accordingly. We love you.